All right, James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your instruction, Lord. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and speak to each soul here today. Lord, we ask you to be the teacher, Lord. I can't do this on my own. And we know, Lord, that your word is powerful and it doesn't go out void. And so this morning, Lord, let us hear your word and respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Back many, 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 many years ago, when I first became a Christian, I had a problem with anger, and my wife and I were in a huge battle. It's hard to believe that we fight, but we fought, and we had like all out like brawls, and it got ugly. It got ugly, and one day I didn't tell her I was going to talk about this, so forgive me, honey. One day, there I was, yelling and screaming, and she had locked herself in the bathroom, and I was pounding on the door, you know, and I was so angry about what? I don't even remember. But I was so angry, and I was pounding on the door, and it was as if the Holy Spirit stopped me right then. He said, stop. Listen. And the words he spoke to me was, show her love. And I'm telling you, it was from that point on that my life changed. That I allowed the Holy Spirit to become my teacher from that point on. You see, we oftentimes don't realize how our anger gets the best of us. How our speech gets the best of us. And James here, he cautions us. He says, be slow to speak and slow to anger, or slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so for good reason, James tells us by opening the book, he tells us that we're going to go into various trials, and we should count them all joy. He says, you're going to enter into temptation. Listen, God doesn't tempt you to do evil. But James says, I've got tools for you. I got tools for your tool bag. And these are them. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You see, as a sheet metal worker, I received, when I first got in the trade, I received my tools. They gave me a pair of snips, a hammer, a scratch awl. They gave me tongs. And it's like, okay, this is going to be your livelihood. This is what's going to feed your family for the next, you know, 30 years. This is what's going to enrich your retirement that I'm now in, retirement. Praise the Lord. But these are the tools that they gave me to make me feed my family. And make me a craftsman. But how you use those tools will determine whether you're a good craftsman or a shoddy craftsman. And so James is here saying, listen, I've got some good tools for you. You're the first fruits of those who have been begotten by the word of truth. And because you're the first fruits, we need to get it right away. And so James says, first of all, be swift to listen. Swift to listen. So, why should we be swift to listen? See, when you're swift to hear, it gives you the ability to respond with understanding rather than reply with emotion. Oftentimes when somebody spoke to me and they didn't say very kind words, man, right off the bat, I was the one who snapped. I was the one who came back with something even more wittier than what they were saying. And it was detrimental to me. because I couldn't hear what people were saying to me. I didn't want to hear because my pride gets in the way of everything. Pride keeps you from listening, from understanding, from hearing. You see, most people don't listen to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And that's hard. We're not hearing what people are actually saying to us. Listening is an art. Man, when you learn to listen to people, you begin to understand what God is doing. You begin to understand their pain and their hurt. We see people, you know, lash out at us and we think, well, I'm going to lash out back. I've been offended. I'm going to offend back. In reality, what God is wanting us to do is to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen to His Word. James says, you've been begotten by the Word of truth, and it's the Word of truth that will guide your words when you speak. It's the Word of truth that's going to give you insight into what they're saying to you. And so we have to be quick to listen. Listening makes you others-centered rather than self-centered. It helps you to see where people are at. It helps you to realize where people have come from. You see, my wife, she teaches me this all the time. She's a great listener, and I got to give her props for that because I'm not a great listener, and I have to learn that character to listen to people. And I'll watch her, and I'll look at her sitting on the phone just listening with compassion. Sometimes she'll have tears in her eyes. Sometimes she'll have her eyes scrunched like, uh-oh, somebody's saying something that ain't cool. But it's how she responds, and it's like, I can't believe you didn't say anything. You know, because my flesh is always wanting to rise up and say something. You know, hurt them back. They can't talk to you that way. Don't they know who I am? No, they don't care who I am. But, you know, God has shown me great insight through my wife and how she listens to people. And you gain so much more compassion when you listen. Have you ever been interrupted while you were speaking or talked over? Nobody likes that. My youngest son especially. You cut him off, man. It's all bad. Dad, stop. Don't cut me off. Anyways, while we are listening to the people, we need to hear the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and how He wants us to respond to them. You know, God is so good. In Proverbs 18:13, it says, Solomon says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and shame to him. Folly and shame. You know, if you want to exasperate your wife, your children, your friends, don't let them finish talking. Just answer, because you already know where they're going, right? So that's how smart we think we are. We think that, oh man, I know where you're going with this. Here, let me fix your problem right away. It's like, I wasn't telling you to fix my problem. I just wanted you to hear me out. No. I got a fix for your problem. And so we answer like right away. We're quick to speak and slow to listen, right? But God says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Proverbs 15:31 says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Man, I love this verse. Because life is going to throw you some curveballs. You may get cancer.
You may get COVID. You may get some other disease. And it's like, are you listening? You see, I got COVID about a month ago or 2 months ago, and I think it was June or July. And I was sitting in the hospital because my oxygen levels weren't very good. So I was in there for literally 3 days. And it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? What do I need to learn from this? What do I need to understand? And the Lord spoke to me. And I'm glad he did. I wasn't thinking, okay, who can I blame for giving me this? Who can I point the finger at for, you know, not believing in, you know, the vaccine or the mask or whatever it is? It's not about causing blame or pointing the finger. It's about God wanting to speak to you. The ear that hears the rebukes of life. It was like the Lord was telling me, and he had told me before. He said, Robert, your prayer life, it's not where I want it to be. And I told you about that. And the Lord had to slow me down. He had to put me in the hospital. And when I went in there, they were freaking out. He's all, oh, you're fine. Your oxygen levels are high. As he's standing there, the doctor's like, it's getting lower. Okay, it's pretty low. And all of a sudden, all these people started coming in, and they put x-ray stuff on me, and they're putting all these little things on me to check my heart. And I'm like, what's going on? I started sweating. I was like, dude, am I dying or what? Do you guys know something I don't? And it panicked me. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? But the Lord said, I need to slow you down. I need to put you down so that you can hear what I'm telling you. He told me, you need to pray. You need to be a man of prayer, because prayer is powerful. And so I sat there. I could have been laying back the whole time, but I sat there literally for like 11 hours. I sat up at the edge of my bed, and I sat and just put a prayer list together. You know, you think that me being in Christ, I would be, you know, I've had this long prayer list and you know, for the last 25 years, but no. I just pray. I just like, okay, when time comes, I pray. And a lot of times my prayer life was, I'd be in the car driving, praying. The Lord's like, no. I want you to stop. I want you to focus. I want you to get in tune with me. And man, I'm telling you, you're sensitive. Your spirit becomes so sensitive when you start relating with God. When you start praying each and every day and taking the time, man, God starts speaking. And you start hearing everything that he's saying. And your heart gets so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that you know when something's wrong right off the bat. And so the Lord said, be quick to listen to his word. Then he goes on to say, we should be slow to speak. So why should we be slow to speak? Because when you're slow to speak, you're able to consider the consequences of your words. You're able to consider the consequences of your words. James, at the end of this chapter, chapter 1, he says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. That word religious or religion, that means if anyone of you thinks you're a worshiper of God and you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is worthless. Your worship of God is worthless. That's what James is saying. It was kind of funny as I was passing up Caleb in the hallway. He's all, Pastor Tim's not here. You can say whatever you want. Yes. Say whatever I want. Tim, you're not here. I love Tim. Tim is a great pastor. But no, I'm not going to say whatever I want, because you can't. When you say what it says, a fool opens wide his lips and leads himself to destruction. You're not to say whatever you feel. You're not to just spout out your emotions. That doesn't characterize a Christian. That doesn't characterize a man or woman of God. Man, when we're slow to speak, it gives us, our words can be damaging, right? Our words can be degrading and destructive and even defiling to others and ourselves. But God says, let your words be encouraging. Let your words be edifying, enlightening, and eternal. It's a huge opposite. Words are powerful. James also says that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Man, you can use your words to really break down people. And the effects of your words go far beyond the here and now. There was a 12-year-old little girl who moved from one city to another, so excited to go to school. Starting a new school in a new place to make new friends. And this little girl was so confident in herself, so just excited to just go to a new school. She was, you know, she had many brothers, so she was very confident in being able to talk with people. And as she got to school, and as she's sitting there and having lunch with these new friends of hers, this little girl tells her, "You chew like a horse." Yeah, funny, right? It's funny, but not funny. You see, those words, and I hate to say this, honey, but those words have affected my wife for a long time. Yeah, those words are damaging. It's like, how can you say that? But as kids, as immature adults, we can say things about people that haunt them. You've never been good enough. You'll never do anything worth. You'll never do anything worth anything. You've heard those words before? Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." You see, the piercing of the sword, that cuts. That cuts to the soul. And oftentimes we're vindictive in our words. And we try to use it to pierce people's soul, not knowing that it doesn't glorify God. It doesn't give honor to the Lord. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. You know, the tongue of the wise, that gives life. That's life-giving. It's nourishing to the souls of others who are around. That's why we should be slow to speak, so that we can understand the words that we're saying and how to say them and how to use them correctly. Fun fact here. Men speak about 7,000 words a day, right? Guess how much women speak? 20,000 words a day. It's just the way we're made, right? Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking." So who do you think sins more? I didn't say it. You thought it. "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise." Listen, brothers, sisters, if you want to be wise, man, you have to learn to hold your tongue. You have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit before you speak. Just count to five. Grab a hold of your mouth just for 5 seconds. right? And give yourself opportunity to think through the consequences of your words. Somebody the other day said something to me. And it was like in a split second, I thought, well, if I say this person may never come back again. If I say this may happen. If I say this, how is this going to work out? It says the righteous, you know, ponder how to answer. The righteous ponders how to answer. So we as believers, as worshiper of God, we need to ponder how we should respond to somebody and how that's going to result in the end. And therefore, James is saying, listen, brothers, be slow to speak. Sisters, be slow to speak. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Just talking to my daughter-in-law the other day, and she was telling me about this book. Love Languages by Gary Smalley, right? Helps you to find out the love language of, you know, the people you're around, your spouse, you know, your kids or whatever, so that you can use that knowledge to show them love. But you can also use that knowledge to show them hate. If I'm a man who needs encouragement and affirmation, and you know that about me, and use it to the opposite and said, you're no good. You always do this. Do you know what you're doing? The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Let's not be fools. Proverbs 18:21. See, I'm giving you a lot of verses just because this is life. This is God's word. And God's word never comes back void. When you hear God's word, it should be talking to you. The Holy Spirit should be talking to you. Proverbs 18:1 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. See, your words can give life and nourish the souls of others, or it can bring forth death and hurt others. It can lead people away from Christ and not to Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Question is what are you storing in your heart? It's not a mouth issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. See, you may have the discipline to not lash out at people, but that doesn't help with your desire to get revenge. You know, you may think that you're doing right by saying, okay, I didn't say anything, I'm good. But in your mind, you're thinking, how can I get them without knowing, without anybody knowing? How can I make them fall? How can I make them stumble? You know, we just become more deceptive in our ways. And we think we're fooling somebody. God he's watching the whole time. He's listening to your heart. He knows exactly what's there. You see, when we are slow to speak, it gives us the opportunity to listen how the Lord wants us to encourage and breathe life, give hope, and to restore. Thirdly, why should we be slow to wrath? Why should we be slow to wrath? When we are slow to anger, it allows us to not let our anger rule over our emotions, our thoughts, our actions, and our decisions. When we're slow to anger, then it gives us the opportunity to not allow our anger to rule over, right? Our emotions, our thoughts, our actions, and our decisions. Because your anger will. In 1 Samuel, we're studying through that in on Tuesday nights. And, you know, there's King Saul. We're learning about King Saul, and he was to be the first king and anointed by God. And Samuel came and anointed him. And Saul, right at the beginning, did everything right. He did everything right. Man, he was humble in what he did. He fought. He was brave. He was courageous, you know, because the Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon him. But then he disobeyed the Lord. And Samuel came and said, hey, because you disobeyed the Lord has rejected you as king. And Samuel turned to walk away. And Saul, in his anger, grabbed a hold of Samuel and tore his robe. Samuel turned around and said, the kingdom will be torn from you this day and given to your neighbor, one who is better than you. And then from that point on, Saul let his anger get out of control. And David shows up in the picture. David shows up in the picture, and this distressing spirit came upon Saul. And one of his servants says, hey, I know a young man who you know is good with a harp, and he's this mighty man of valor, and he's a worshiper of the Lord, and they're saying all these things about him. And Saul says, bring him in. And so he would play. And when he played, the distressing spirit would leave Saul. And it says that he was refreshed by what David was doing. He was refreshed. And then it came about that Goliath was out there defiling the armies of God. And David says, I'll go. Who is this uncircumcised, you know, guy that he can defile the armies of the living God? And David goes out there with a sling and a stone, you know. Yeah. Nobody knew what happened. Just instantly, bam, knocked down Goliath. And he brought glory back to Israel. And everybody was loving David. It said that Saul loved David. And then David went out and fought more against the Philistines and won more battles and more battles and became stronger and stronger. And then it said that the ladies were dancing in the streets, singing as the king came in. And saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And it says the saying displeased Saul. And from that point on, he looked at David with suspicion. And the more David grew in favor with Israel and with God, it said that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Like, how are you afraid of somebody when the Lord is with him? Saul got so angry at him when David was playing the harp for him, he picked up a spear and tried to chuck it at him and tried to pin him to the wall. David constantly did that, or Saul constantly did that. He did it twice or three times to David, and then he did it to his own son. His anger got so out of control, it broke his relationship with his son, with his number one faithful servant, with Israel, with the prophets. Listen, your anger will, if left unchecked, will break relationships. It'll defile you. It'll destroy you. It'll be destructive in your life. Your anger will make you irrational, and it will disable your desire to love. That's the real problem. Your anger will disable your desire to love, to bless, to forgive. So you can't let your anger get out of control. I mean, even some of you right now, you've already said about somebody, I'm never talking to that person again. And we justify it. Well, the Lord doesn't want me to hurt. The Lord doesn't want me to feel pain. Who told you that? The hardest thing you'll ever do is become a Christian. I'm telling you that right now. But the greatest reward you'll ever get is being a Christian. Because if you're not a Christian, you've got no control over any of these things. Your heart may be all full of like ugliness at all times. I'm not saying it is, but I mean, yeah, we think good thoughts and we try to. But without the strength of the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. We need to understand that it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do these things. You see, every decision Saul made from his anger led to his decline, dishonoring God. It led to his dethronement, and it led to his ultimately to his death. And so when we make decisions based on anger, man, we're headed away from God and not towards God. And so be careful that you don't make your decisions based on emotion. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." You see, we see men in battle as great men of power, but it requires a greater strength to control your anger. A strength that is beyond yourself. You see, that's the point, is that when you try to discipline yourself to hold your anger, it's not your power. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit inside you that allows you to put that in check. Because ultimately, we're to honor God and we're to produce fruits of righteousness and to bless the Lord in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts. You see, David had plenty of reason to hate Saul and to be angry with Saul. David did everything right. Everything. He killed a giant. He killed the Philistines. Saul says, "Hey, you marry my daughter, go ahead and do this for me." He did it twice as much. Everything Saul asked him to do, he did. And he was treated harshly for it. He was treated with piercings, swords thrown at him constantly. David will be on the run for 20 years running from Saul because he wanted him out of the way. Because he was a better man than him. And so jealousy will lead us to anger. But Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place or opportunity for the devil." Anger against evil can be righteous. But anger is sinful most of the time. When it is an emotion of malice or jealousy or resentment, vindictiveness or hatred because of personal wrongs, it's forbidden. Aristotle said, "Anybody can become angry, it's easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that's not easy." So, put your anger in check, because it doesn't glorify God. It doesn't produce. You see, our unconfessed sins of anger provide the devil a foothold and a base of operation in our life. And so the devil, he's always looking for a foothold. He's always looking for an entrance into your soul. How to be able to tear you down and to take you out. We can't give him that foothold. And so we take our anger to God. We confess, we repent, and we restore. You see, we have to not only confess and repent and restore our relationship with God, then with others who we got out of hand with. I'm just learning that myself. after 25 years. I'm learning how to do that. How to actually say sorry when I say things wrong, when I do things out of anger. Remember to listen and understand and not reply with emotion, but be teachable by the Holy Spirit and let the Word of God direct your words. Be slow to speak and speak life-giving words that nourish the souls of others. Be slow to anger because it doesn't produce the righteous fruit that God desires. Love produces the good fruit of God. And so if you have a problem with being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to wrath, listen to what the Word of God says. Listen to the Holy Spirit before you speak. Count your 5 seconds before you say anything. And consider the consequences of your words, because it glorifies the Lord. And ultimately, that is our goal. That's our purpose, is to be the spokesman of God. And when we are the spokesman of God, God gets glorified. When we share life-giving words, God is glorified. When we put our anger in check, God is glorified. When we listen to the Word of God and we listen to the Holy Spirit, God is glorified. Amen. Maybe some of you don't know the Lord this morning, and you'd never asked Jesus to come into your heart. And you have a problem with a lot of these things. You know, the Lord says in His Word that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, God wants to have a relationship with you. He desires to speak with you, to talk with you, to commune with you. He desires to give you instruction and to just show how much He loves you. And by raising your hand and saying, yes, I want to give my life to the Lord. Man, He says, I promise to come in and empower you with my Holy Spirit that you can live a life of holiness. You can live a life under the calling that God has called you for. And so if you've never received the Lord, if you've never, I can lead you in a prayer, whether you're at home watching on TV or you're in here. I would say, if you've never done that, this is a safe place to do it. I would stand and say, I want to pray. And I'll lead you in a prayer. But Jesus says that he who does not confess me before man, him I will not confess before my Father. But he who confesses me before man, him I will confess before my Father in heaven. And so if you're afraid to do that, you don't need to be, because this is a safe place. If you never stood before and said, I want to accept and receive Jesus this morning, now's the time to stand. Anyone? God gives you plenty of opportunity if you've never done that before. Now's the time to do it. Okay. I'm going to pray, and if someone's standing at your home, I will pray for you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that my sins have separated me from you. I ask, Lord, that you would cleanse me of my sin, and I repent of my sin and turn to you. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and that he took the sacrifice that I couldn't make. And Lord, I ask that you would give me your Holy Spirit to come live inside me,
to give me the strength to serve you all the days of my life. And in Christ's name, amen.